And away we go.
Hello.
Oh, let's do that stupid view thing again where you can't really see what's going on.
As long as you know it's recording, we should be fine. So, hi.
Hello, Mr. Weiss. There we go. How's things?
Good.
That's good. I got a headache. I need to get some beer in me to make it go away.
There you go. That always works. Who needs Tylenol when you have alcohol around?
Probably not the best solution, but at least I'll care less about the headache, right?
One hopes. I don't know. Drink if I get too much alcohol in me, I'm liable to get a headache.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of the opposite with me. We're drinking Sam Adams Boston Lager in Sam Adams Boston Lager glasses.
Because we should have grabbed two of them, right? So we had full experience.
Oh, yeah, well.
We're sharing a bottle. We love to share.
Don't make it sound so salacious.
So I don't think I talked about this last week. I had bought that OCZ SSD hard drive for my laptop a long time ago.
Okay, yeah.
And it was always, it had gotten flaky on me, and I had taken it out.
You mean
OCZ.
OCZ?
OCZ.
That's the name of the company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They make cheap SSDs.
Nice. Yeah, I think we talked about it last time that I had a SanDisk for my computer, right. Because then that's probably better.
Yeah. I mean, actually, only OCZ has an okay reputation too. For the price, you just kind of have to make sure you keep your stuff backed up, in case it fails. Yeah, I had
For those who cannot see, which is everybody, Jeff had a little wink at me. He does that sometimes.
Oh,
I did. He probably doesn't even know. No, that one was
completely subconscious. Conscious. So anyway, the old...
I just wanted to add that because, it's color.
Yeah. The old hard drive was their Octane 2. I won't get into too many details about that, but it was faster than the spinning drive, but it wasn't awesome. I mean, it wasn't like, oh my God, awesome. I wanted it to be oh my God, awesome, so I kind of convinced myself it was oh my God, awesome, but it wasn't. And then it got crashy, so I took it out of the laptop.
Technical word.
Yeah, I took it out of the laptop, and I didn't have time to go through the whole RMA process because I figured I'd have to troubleshoot some things and this and that. So I put a spinning hard drive back in there, and then over Christmas break, I had time to mess with it again. Got it installed, used it, it worked for a few days, and then it crashed. And then at that point, it crashed so bad I couldn't even get it to post past BIOS, even on like a PC. So the RMA process was easy. Long story short, they sent me a Vertex 4, which is their fast IOPS model line.
Uh-huh.
To replace the Octane 2.
And I guess were they out of stock?
Big performance difference. The Vertex 4s are the good ones.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure about reliability, but speed-wise are the good ones. And oh my God, is this thing a different computer with the Vertex 4 in there?
Really? Yeah, mine is a 6 megabyte per second. I think that's it's a fast one.
Yeah, the problem with the 6 gigabytes per,
6 gigabyte,
mega, or gigabyte per second thing is that... the SATA controller on these laptops.
No, yeah. On my computer, I have a SATA controller that's capable.
It's only 3 gigabit.
Yeah, but these...
So. Oh, yeah, because you have a PC at home. That's right. Yeah. But, oh my goodness. Like, bringing up apps like the Audition program, or we use Wireshark for packet captures a lot of work. And it's a legacy X Windows program. And it would usually, like on the spinning hard drive, it would take between 12 and 15 seconds to start up. And now it starts up like that.
Really? Yeah, I mean...
It's insane.
Games... are quicker, but they still take a while to load because they're loading all those assets into memory. So it still takes a while to get to the load, for it to load everything. But then any hard drive thing is obviously pretty much instantaneous.
Right. What you do find yourself waiting for now is just network transfer, right? You're like waiting for that web page to load, or you're waiting for something to happen. You're waiting for the VPN to connect, It's like, that's what I find myself waiting for now.
I mean, restarting my computer is 6 or 7 seconds. It really is amazing. And it used to be, before I had this, it was a minute and a half before everything was really done. I mean, you could probably do stuff at about 45 seconds, but it was still loading stuff.
Going to sleep and waking up from sleep is like, boom. Yeah. With the old flaky solid-state hard drive that I had, going to sleep was kind of a iffy proposition because sometimes it wouldn't come back. But with this new one, everything is working like a dream.
Oh, good.
I'm like, it's finally, and I had to go through a bunch of rigmarole, but I got a Vertex 4 for a hell of a price now. So
that's
probably less than half the price.
Sounds good.
It's also, I bought a smaller, it's only 128 gigabyte drive. So they probably, you know, if I had a 256, I would have probably got an older drive instead of a brand new one. Because, but they're good, 128's probably not all that popular. Probably helped me get the inline upgrade. I winked, yeah.
I'm just trying to
What did I wink for? What? Why would I winked? I don't know.
Jeff does it.
It's and just my...
I have, you know, I have my own little tics too, so I just... But Jeff said he doesn't notice it, so I want to point it out so that he knows.
I'm trying to think, because it wasn't really irony. It wasn't, you know, like, I wonder why I think I need to wink.
He's just trying to pick me up, I think.
Maybe that's it. It's almost like a smiley face emoticon, right?
Right, yeah. Or like somebody has a nervous tic and they smile, you know, when somebody's angry at them. I mean, it's those kind of things. It's just... that's what your brain does.
I'm
going to
hide
it.
Behind the pop filter.
I mean, the good thing is that you're with me, and you know, I'm not going to judge you on things like that.
I'm going to hide behind the pop filter. Need a bigger pop filter.
But I'm going to talk about it because I'm going to talk about my problems too.
We'll have to get, you know, we'll build individual studios in here, you know, where we can't even see each other.
Just wear sunglasses and you should be fine. Come on. Don't go to that kind of expense.
Have little individual sound booths. And then, well, then we could have cough buttons and they would actually work. Right?
Yeah, right. For all the, I mean, more than cough, we do like nose blows and things like that.
There was, you know, way back we had actually looked into getting cough buttons, but they're kind of expensive for XLR mics, like $150 a piece or something, maybe 70 if you really looked around. But also thinking that, you know, we're both across the room, and if I turned off my mic, you could still hear me. I'd sound like I was across the room, but you'd still hear me in Greg's mic. So having a cough button, unless we have a cut out both, but then, you know, we cut off people talking, it'd just be a big mess. Sound, yeah. So.
And there is sort of a background noise level to the room, which you can't hear, but it helps your ears. If that were to cut out, you'd notice it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if we turned on the noise gate,
yeah,
you would definitely notice it. Noise gate is, you can have, we have a thing called a compressor over there. It's a compressor, a limiter, a noise gate. And a noise gate will be any sound that is below a certain decibel level, doesn't even trip the gate, so it's not even processed, right? So it would be dead silent, and you would hear us talk, and then dead silent. And that's fine, but with our podcast, you know, the sniffs, the swishing of the beer, you know, we found that some people hate it, but generally most people, it puts...
It adds character, texture.
It's a better texture, yeah.
Yeah.
Than super sanitary and just hearing the talking.
Although, I mean, normally when you're drinking with a friend, you don't hear it as well. It's just, you know, it's just an artifact of the fact that we're using very sophisticated microphones to record us. We talked about getting lapel mics, or at least I talked about it, the possibility of doing, you know, sort of a wireless lapel mic thing. And that would maybe lessen some of the other noises, but it would also maybe lessen some of the texture.
It would be that. You'd have to be very cognizant of it, right? I mean, right now we have headphones with wires that'd be bumping into it, making all kinds of noise. You moving your shirt around could make noise. You just have to be careful. But
right,
and those probably have gates on them for that kind of shirt noise, right? You know, you see the people walking around with lapel mics, you know, doing whatever show or whatnot when they're on a late night talk show, right? They're all mic'd with lapel mics.
Well, what we could do, here's the possibility. If we got lapel mics, we could also have a mic just recording the room, and we could have that really low. So since it's at the same time, you're not going to have any
you're so crazy.
Any sound interference, but you will have the texture, as well as we'll have more freedom to move around and stuff like that. We won't have to sit behind these microphones.
I like the microphones.
Yeah. It
feels, feel like Larry King.
It does feel
Tulsa, you're on the line.
It feels more radio-y. But, I mean, the point of having lapel mics is if we did that, then we probably wouldn't even need the headphones.
Yeah. Yeah, we use the headphones to help figure out how far our lips need to be away from the mic and how close they need to be to the microphone. And so we use it for feedback. And if we were wired with a lapel mic, problem is, you would almost need an audio guy too, right? Because it wouldn't
someone
be
to monitor,
it wouldn't be so much changing your distance. It would be someone tweaking levels to keep it consistent, right? So that's another thing. I mean, if we go into that, you know, I think it would be difficult unless we have some people doing the technical production part, right?
Which
I don't think we're getting there anytime soon.
Unless anybody would like to volunteer every Saturday, 8 o'clock.
You get to drink leftover beer.
Yeah, we'll get you stuff to drink. So speaking of which, should I save this for the show? We have a knock on the door, possibly.
Yeah, Heather was letting the kids stay up and watch a couple shows, and she might need help putting the kids down. We'll see. I don't think she's headed down.
Putting the kids down,
Putting them down. she's probably getting them more milk or something like that.
Okay.
If you want to talk about the beer run, or if you have other things you'd rather chat about, we can always save the beer run.
I don't know if there's anything that really came up this week that I just have to have my say on. So I'll talk about the beer run. I do this once every 3 months or so. Now that I'm working in Westchester, only 2 days a week.
Nice.
It's awesome. I love working from home, but I am working in Chester, West Virginia.
Westchester's a lot closer, I think.
Probably.
Actually, no, Westchester, I believe, is all the way over by Philly, I think. But there is a Westchester.
There is a way, yeah. Westchester, that's why I got it confused. Mm-hmm. It does exist. It's kind of halfway between here and VE, one of the best beer places in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big loop, but you're closer there than you are other times.
Right.
So
it makes sense because we don't get a huge... It's getting better, but there's still beers that we can't get that we don't...
I mean, this time you brought a bunch of stuff from Chicago that we don't get. I mean, we don't even get Goose Island here. So even a little thing like, oh, there's Goose Island, 312. Well, people are like, oh, 312. But, I'm not sure I've ever had it. It's their wheat ale.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beer that the president likes. But I've actually never had it, and it's their flagship. So it'd be good to try it.
Yeah, I think this time, the other times, I think I went for Decadence one way or the other. I was looking for the big, expensive super beers, the things that, like, wow, jumping out at me. Whereas this time, even though I did buy some expensive beers, I wanted to mix it up a little bit. I wanted to get some stuff that just looked interesting and not necessarily stuff I would enjoy. Like there was an Imperial Smoked Porter or Pilsner and some other stuff that I'm not sure I'm even going to like, but it's worth it to, I don't have a chance to get it all the time. It's funny because what I do is I go to Chalet Premier first. It's cheaper. They have a smaller selection. But it helps me find some good stuff, and then I go to VE, and then you're kind of overwhelmed.
Right.
There's also an interesting problem, which is that at Chalet Premier, I can have a little cart and take it around. At VE, there's no carts.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you anything. So if I had a cart, I probably would have bought more. But there's no room for it at VE.
There's a suggestion for them. Carts will up your sales.
Maybe. Well, for people like me, I don't know how many people like me there are, because.
I'm sure there's a lot of people. You walk into VE and it's classic kid in a candy store. You're like, especially if you're crossing a state line and getting all those ones. Like the brewery is available in Ohio, but not here, and at least not in this half of Pennsylvania. So you go there and you're like, oh, like I've said this before, you can go over there and save money, but not when you're buying those beers.
No, I'm talking about for the show. It's around a $200 bill every time, at least.
Yeah, but if you're going over there to buy the same things that you can get here, you'll generally save money. But I always find myself buying the things that I can't get here. So,
right, and that's kind of the point. That's why, mm-hmm.
Yep. My headache's gone. That half beer helped.
Really?
Yeah.
I've had two sips. Jeff is it's weird. Jeff's a drink. He saves his drink. He has that power, but he drinks fast, especially
the first one. I think the first one is just kind of same as Boston Lager. It just tasted really good tonight. It really tasted good.
You're always done with the beer though before I am.
It's because you like to talk. No,
there's my flaw.
There are sometimes that I don't drink as fast, but then other times it's just. Oh, so good.
I'm not, it's not a negative.
Yeah. Here, let me give you a wink.
Thank you.
What else have I been doing? A hell of a week at work. All the new guys probably think that I am an incompetent network admin, that's for sure. Hitting all
How
kinds.
How can you prove you're not?
Ask one of the experienced guys. The network's usually generally pretty good around here, but four different product bugs in network vendor's product this week had bit us. Four different ones. It's like, come on.
And this was the week you got a lot of publicity.
Got some publicity, yeah.
Avir, which is Jeff's company, they've been involved in... Right now, a lot of the stuff, other people are using your stuff for Hollywood film, you know, the film.
Yeah, our biggest markets, studios. We have many markets, but probably our biggest two by, you know, revenue is movie studios for rendering special effects and also just computer animation, you know. So, like, who can I say? Well, he just had the press release. Image Engine is a special effects shop, and they did some Zero Dark 30 work. I'm not sure if I can say this, so I'll just say there's a certain movie with a short guy with big hairy feet. You know, we were involved with that.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. One
of those indie movies.
Movies with...
Not going to make a lot of money.
Girls with, you know, computer movies that have princesses with curly red hair or anthropomorphic cars, you know, those kind of things are customers of ours.
Still drawing a blank
here. Yeah.
Certainly not popular, not big scale movies.
No, not big movies at all. it's all about for rendering, it's all about accessing a lot of data fast. And, you know, it takes a lot of time to render a movie. And the faster they can do it, it save a lot of money. So there's a great market there. And then our biggest market by revenue is probably oil and gas exploration. Again, they're crunching tons of seismic data and things like that.
Whoa!
He scared Greg, Allie.
That was just, whoa.
You scared Uncle Greg?
Yeah.
Did I forget to put undies on you again?
Dad.
Maybe it was an experiment to see if you'd notice. Last night, I put her PJs on and I didn't put underpants on. I wanted to see if she'd notice, and she didn't notice till this morning, and she yelled at me. And so tonight I didn't put underpants on her, and I wanted to see how long it took. So it took less time. Under her PJs.
That was just... Because I think if Heather would have peeked in, it would have been a different story. But Allie just goes, boom, and starts talking right away. I was like, whoa. Scared is too much. I was surprised.
You recoiled, and I jumped a little bit, too. That was funny. Oil and gas exploration is another big one.
I
got to
think the financial markets would be one.
We got some financial. We got some bio, medical research type stuff.
Oh,
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
They do a ton of crunching. And, you know, there's not just movies, but other media. You know, TV has a need for these kinds of things.
Absolutely. So. Now they use special effects all the time.
Yeah. So, you know, those are our markets, those kinds of things. So, yeah, we had a press release for about Image Engine and Zero Dark 30, which is cool. And in the past, we've had, you know, white papers, you know, where we've done stuff with Sony and Digital Domain and things like that, where, like, Sony uses us to do rendering in Las Vegas from their Los Angeles offices and things like that. So they can do this rendering across a WAN type thing.
My company makes envelopes for people to donate to churches.
Nice. Exciting, man. Exciting. And then, we got a little piece of press in local media about, you know, top Pittsburgh tech companies to watch. So we got a little write-up in there this week, too. However, it was news to me. It's like the article said, we have 75 employees and we're looking to hire 75 more this year.
Start expanding that network.
We have slightly more than 75 now. But it was, I have not heard anything about plans to actually hire. I mean, I've heard plans.
You don't go to the board meetings. So.
Well, I don't go to board meetings, but, you know, like last year we were on track to hire 30 people. We were a little under that because it was hard to find the right people. If we're looking to hire 70, that's like two people a week, you know, that's a lot of onboarding. So I'm glad I got help to do that now because, I mean, this week we had five people start.
Hmm.
It was a lot of build up end of the year type thing. You know, people were just kind of waiting till January to start. So, you know, and then a new person this week. So yeah, in 2 weeks we'll have six new people. So.
Not bad. Did you read that story about the guy who, they found that he was outsourcing his work to China.
Yes, that is the most fantastic story ever.
What a great idea. So the guy's at like a $200,000 job or more. So it's about a quarter of a million. But he doesn't do any of the work. He's paying China like $50,000. Some people
he was, to do all the work. He was a programmer at a large company. And what he decided to do was to outsource his daily job to China. And it cost him about one-fifth of his salary.
Right.
So he was doing no work and getting four-fifths of his salary. And, you know, they found all these accesses from China to the VPN.
So this is important. The reason why they only found him because, I guess, they're working with a defense contractor, you know.
Verizon was doing a security audit. They were implementing a new VPN or something. And then they saw this. And they thought it was an infiltration. And then they, like, looked at the guy's computer and, you know, they were able to characterize his daily habits, which was literally Facebook all morning, lunch, eBay in the afternoon, read some Reddit. You know, it was insane. And not only was he outsourcing his current job, he took on extra other contract jobs and was outsourcing those too.
I mean, that's just a guy who's you know, isn't doing this, working the system for all they can. I don't think the guy is wrong for a second, other than the fact that you don't open your network like that.
Depends on the confidentiality of the programming, right?
Right.
If it was the kind of programming that they could have outsourced to an outsourcing company anyway, you know, he was practically just the outsourcing company.
Yeah, I mean, he's just doing what the company would, you know, what higher ups in the company would be doing in his place.
He's doing what the company should have done.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's things like a little bit questionable about security. Like they had RSID key fobs, right? And he FedExed his key fob to China so they could log into the VPN.
There's where, you know, so you're breaking some, you know, some things. But if it were the case that I could, you know, that why not? Because there are consulting companies that do just that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did the work. He did the guy was always good. He got really good.
He was known as the best programmer in the company. Or one of them. Oh, man, that's awesome. Best story ever.
Yeah, I mean, guys should just start a, you know, a consulting company.
If you can get the work, I mean, he found a firm that was doing good work, you know? And, I mean, that'd be the hard part, you know, because you're going to, he probably, you know, I'm only assuming he probably found some real stinkers and had to keep trying to find that right, you know, firm to do his work for him. I mean, you can just imagine outsourcing it one-fifth the cost, how the kind of quality you're going to get. But you find a place that can, like, yeah, I mean, because they can write the code, but it's going to be the code that meets your needs. It's like he even had to, like, you know, integrate the code. It sounds like the code was ready to go, you know. It was like turnkey. It was insane.
So, yeah, I mean, and I guess they'd brief him about it so he'd know about it. So when they asked him a question about a code, he would. So obviously he knew what he was doing, but he did sort of. He kind of did the 4-hour work week model, which is, you know, get other people to do your work for you and spend a lot less money on it, and you collect the ring. There's nothing. The only reason people were shocked about it was because it was one employee doing it as opposed to the, you know, a company doing it from the higher up level.
Right.
But to me, it's just, you know, why not exploit the system that way? So I see nothing wrong with what he did, except for, obviously, the parts where he broke company policy and things like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he should almost be congratulated. It all depends on the type of work. If there was confidential, sensitive, you know, information being coded.
Yeah.
But if it was just a e-commerce website for your donation envelope company. Uh-huh. You know, there's not much proprietary information there.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
That was a great story, though. Made me smile. I loved it.
Oh, so the big story this week was, well, there are two big stories, but they all kind of dovetail into each other because it was the Lance Armstrong story, right, and the Manny Teo story.
I don't even know what Manny Teo is.
So he's this guy who faked a girlfriend?
Oh, okay. I heard about it. I didn't know the name.
Yeah.
To fake the girlfriend, I heard he was scammed.
People don't really know quite what the deal is. He says he was scammed, but there were weird inconsistencies to his story also. Like, he says he met her, or he said he met her, but now he's saying he hadn't met her.
I thought only his dad said that they had met. But you know, there's no pictures of them together.
Right.
You know, so it's really. People that don't know, there's a Heisman college football player, Heisman caliber. I'm not sure if he won the Heisman.
I think he did. And part of his campaign was that he went through all this suffering because not only his grandmother died, which did happen, but also his girlfriend was in a car crash and then died of leukemia and told him to play. I want you to play. Right. And that was like the big, huge
story. A girlfriend that he had never met in person.
Well, we didn't know that. It was plastered all over. Yeah. Apparently, because I didn't follow this stuff, but it was plastered, ESPN and Sports Illustrated and stuff. This was big news, and this was part of how he was he was selling himself, and it was at Notre Dame, I guess, was also selling, him with all these things, because they get the Heisman, they get money, all this stuff, and he gets a better contract for NFL when he goes. It all builds on itself, but so they're building up this story. Whoever was building up this story, or not necessarily, because I'm not saying that Notre Dame knew about it or that he necessarily knew about it. It could be that they were all fooled, but it was too good a story not to use. So they used it because some people thought it was true, and the media just bought it and didn't think to check on it at all. And then some guys at Deadspin, the blog. Decided to look into it or got a tip that there was something weird about it and did actual journalism and found out, this person, this girlfriend that he talked about never existed, period.
Her Facebook picture was somebody else,
right,
who probably just a random grab. I don't think she was involved with the situation.
Apparently there was some 22-year-old guy who used to be in the same high school with him who was perpetrating this whole thing.
Oh, okay, I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
part.
And there's the way Tio talks about it, he was having a relationship with this person, but online. And I thought that that's kind of weird until I heard that he was Mormon, and then it started to make a little bit more sense.
Okay,
because not because Mormons are so dumb, but it's you're so closed off, and you have these relationships are so weirdly done in Mormon
stuff. That makes sense. I mean, I was wondering that thing too. I'm like, what kind of weirdo star football player has a girlfriend? But a devout Mormon makes sense. It's normal in their culture to they don't have premarital sex, right? They don't do that thing. So and also, it's still not completely crazy to have a relationship via pen pal. So
yeah, because. Yeah, if anything, Mormons should be into that sort of thing because they go all around the world and have conversations. Yeah, so there are parts of it that are just like that actually kind of fit in a weird way. So you can see how somebody. There's also weird parts, like I said. Like apparently, he talked about how he met her and her family at some point, but he never actually did. But maybe he was just embellishing that because he wanted to. And, it's like I have a girlfriend in Canada type thing.
There could be that part, right? Like, people are going to think this is just too weird.
Uh-huh.
Imagine he's thinking he has a girlfriend on Facebook. People are going to be like, you're a weirdo. So he's going to, make it sound a little more real. I mean, you can't really fault the guy for that. I'd do the same thing,
But don't tell it to... I mean, ideally... Don't tell that to reporters, people who would be looking into it. But he did, and they didn't look into it because it was too good a story. It was too great a narrative. It was just, and this is why it dovetails with the Lance Armstrong thing, because him overcoming cancer and then winning 7 Tour de France is just on sheer will is too good a story, and that so people bought it. And it turns out, he was doing what everybody else was doing, cheating. But he, so it wasn't the cheating that bugs me the most about it. It was the fact that every time somebody would be like, would try to blow a whistle on him, he'd lawyer them up and, go down on them and try to really hard to ruin their reputation and those sorts of things. So that was the real problem with what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lance Armstrong thing is, I mean, he was such a hero to so many people. Mm-hmm. And you know, just, what, 4 months ago, you know, right before he was banned from competing, right, he was still, you know, fighting against it, vehemently denying it and whatnot. You know, and then all of a sudden, oh, we're not going to fight this anymore. Guilty. The biggest thing that about this, I didn't watch the two-night interview, but I heard the probes, you know, the teasers leading up to it. And first of all, I hear two-night interview on Oprah's network, which is hurting. I'm like, okay, yeah, trying to get more, double the advertising. And then I hear her teasing it, and she's like, it was, you know, the way she's leading it in, you know.
Well, I saw clips, and
then the next part,
it was kind of fascinating.
Well, and then the next part is, you know, you watch the first night, and nothing will happen. At the end, tune in tomorrow night where we get to the real, you know. It's just, I could just see that whole thing happening. It was more about...
Because from what I both read and saw, Oprah did a really, really good job.
Okay.
She got him, you know, she asked pertinent questions and got into information, but it was just, there was so much to go over that they needed to. I'm sure they could have shrunk it down, but like you said,
right,
get him two nights. But it wasn't like she, like, well, we're just going to talk about you as Sheryl Crow for 2 hours and then...
Mm-hmm. Did we talk about that video with the eagle picking up the baby?
Yeah, you mentioned something about that.
It just it was computer animation on YouTube, right? So well done, and you know, I didn't have any reason to be skeptical at first. I'm like, holy crap, you know, that's crazy. And then a couple of days later, it comes out that it was, you know, film students that made the movie, right?
Can an eagle pick up a baby? That'd be
Did you see the video?
No, but
he doesn't pick it up and fly away. He picks it up, maybe drags it 3 or 4 feet and lets go and flies away. So he tries to pick up the baby, but he's burdened by it, so he lets go. But, you know, they're in a park. It's like a, you know, probably like a 14-month-old sitting there in the grass, you know, just old enough to sit up on its own. And his eagle swoops down from behind him, grabs him, and tries to fly away with him. You know, for the apparently gene in you, you're like, you watch it and you're like, oh my God. It could have been
like, that can happen.
Exactly. You know, it took me back to like when, you know, humans still got eaten by, mm-hmm, you know, tigers and shit, you know. And I'm like, wow, that happened like 10,000 years ago. but what it has made me, I mean, like, I'm skeptical of everything I see, every photograph that's funny or weird or out of place, you know. Like Heather showed me one today and I'm like looking at it and the photo was a guy with a baby in a casserole dish getting ready to put him in the oven. And the caption was, I let my friend babysit and I came home to this as my wallpaper on my computer, you know, and it's just posing there. He hadn't put the baby in the oven, mm-hmm, right? But the baby's like sad. And he's like, oh, I'm putting it in the oven. But I'm like, the lighting on the photo is really good. Who's holding the camera? You know, I'm skeptical that the story of the caption was even legit, you know? And, I mean, yeah, with that YouTube video being faked, you know, now I'm like, it's nothing. Nothing I see is real until I see it on Snopes. You know, it's like someone, I think Damien showed the link. Maybe you saw it too, of the little girl with the pony cake, and there was a castle cake beside it, but it was like a penis. It was veiny and everything. So, like, I was trying to see if that was Photoshopped in or something like that. You know, I couldn't see anything. Nothing was on Snopes. Well, if you search Snopes for penis cake, you'll find a few things, but not that one.
No, there is. I'm trying to find the site where it was on because it was cool to me at least. But they took a picture of, you know, one of those theme park rides with the people hanging on swings and, mm-hmm, going around. But it also has somebody is like falling. It looks like they're, you know, there's no chain and they've, you know, they've moved away. Mm-hmm. But they said, if you understand physics, this can't happen. If the chains go, they'll just drop. They won't actually go out in this direction. Mm. You're used to thinking, right, when you're on that there's a force, but that's a fictitious force. That's centrifugal. It's fictitious. It's only inertia going or applied to angular, mm-hmm, momentum. So you'd still go on arc, but you'd drop straight down. You would not you wouldn't fly out. So they pointed out how you can tell that this picture is fake just because if you know how the physics works, that can't happen.
Let's see. String Ride Hoax. Haunted Swing Illusion. Is this it? Nope. That's not it. Yeah. These are real news stories about people get stuck on swings. I mean, you'd fall on a parabola, right? You would, you know, you would move out from the... You wouldn't fall directly straight down as if you weren't moving, if you were swinging.
You could, it feels like you're being pushed outwards, right? But really what you're doing is being... You're being pushed downward and along the oh, arc, sure. And it's pulling you back. So in fact, what would happen is you would actually fall down and on a curve, but you wouldn't fall out.
So you got the anchor point for the swing, and
actually you wouldn't fall on a curve. You would fall. It may look like a curve, but you would fall straight down, and you would go straight because there's no other force.
But you have forward. You have forward.
You don't have forward momentum. You have angular momentum. It's different.
You have forward velocity.
You don't.
You're talking about the ones with the swings on the chains.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have forward velocity. You're moving forward.
No, you're moving
at any point. How do I illustrate this? There is a forward velocity there. Yeah, okay, so here's what you're saying. So here's, you know, we're immediately behind the swing right here, right?
Right.
So, and actually the vertical lines are very helpful. When it chops, you would not go this way. You would go this way. But if you turn this on its side, right, and you were looking at it from the side of the swing, so like that, he would
this
fall.
This is great for listeners.
Yeah, he would fall that way, though. You know, there's forward, so there would be a parabola fall here. He would still fall. So if this is, you know, the side of the swing, right, you know, you would fall this way. But yeah, you would definitely fall straight down here.
Yeah,
that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah,
you continue going in the direction you were just going. There's no other force.
But it's a misnomer, right? Because at the top of the swing, you're going to land outside the roof of the swing, right? Because you're going to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it still seems like you've flown away from the swing, right? And that's what people are thinking. Not that they're going to fly.
But this person was just at the height that they were, just further away.
So here's the way to describe it to the people in the audience. Everyone draw a circle, and the intuition of what Greg was saying is you're going to fly in the same direction. Like, what's the direction there? So make a point on the circle where you are when the chain breaks, and the intuition is you're going to fly away from the center of the circle, but you're not. You're going to fly in a straight line at the, the tangent of the circle.
Right.
Yeah. And then you're going to fall in a parabola because you do have forward momentum. So
but you're going to fall at the speed of gravity. You're going to fall at the same speed. There's nothing pushing you up.
Oh, no.
So you'll fall straight down. But it will be
you're not going to fall straight down. You're going to fall in a parabola because you have the forward momentum of the swing. You're going to fall.
Yeah, it'll be a parabola if you're looking at it from the side. But if you're looking at it straight on, the person will fall straight down.
But
so
when you say straight down, you're acting like the person has no forward momentum. Like the swing is stopped.
Yeah. So the person has a but the momentum momentum is a vector, so it's immediately directed downwards instead of being.
Well, it's immediately straight when the string's cut. You know, so the angular thing is going to turn into a straight line at the tangent of when the string was cut.
Right.
You're going to fly whatever is right in front of you. So you know, if the string breaks when you're looking at the tilt-a-whirl, you're going to fly directly towards the tilt-a-whirl in a parabola until you hit the ground.
Where did I see? Anyway, I forget what site it was. This is one of the sites I go to a lot.
Sure. I think when you said straight down, you were only talking in one.
I'm talking
in
about
one, from one view. From,
yeah, yeah.
From,
you're not going to be lifted up by anything. That's the point I was trying to make. You're not going to, and you're not going to stay at the same level you are.
So I think what
you will immediately start falling down.
So I think this is not going to be great for, but I think what people kind of envision is you're going to fly kind of like that, almost like a spaceship escaping the orbit of a planet.
Not only will you fly almost in a curve, but you'll also be launched. That was sort of what the picture was.
Maybe I didn't see the picture.
They were like, they were thrown and almost like above where they would be because sad.
Well, you know, some of those swings, they kind of jerk you and pull you a little bit. So if it broke right on the pool, you're going to get a little extra energy in there. So you might get that. You might be on an up. You might be. So again, it's still a parabola, right? But you might have broke when you're going up, you know.
Well, careful, not a parabola. A curve. You'll start falling immediately. So it's a downward slope of a parabola.
But
so
if
a parabola is up and down.
But if your initial velocity is forward and up, right? Because think of a merry-go-round. How merry-go-round, the horses go up and down, right? There's some swings that do that too. Not a lot. I mean, it's a small bar.
Okay.
So you wouldn't see it in the picture, but it is possible if the chain breaks while you're being accelerated upwards, you would get a little up. I mean, tiny. A little up.
You're talking about like not even, you know, barely measurable.
It'd be measurable. It'd be a few inches. But what I'm saying, we're talking.
You wouldn't go flying away from the carousel, which is what this picture showed. But it's a natural intuition to think that when you're on it, you feel like you're being launched that way. You feel like you could be. But the physics, you would basically drop down. Mm-hmm.
And not sure.
You basically drop diagonally. There's no curve.
No,
there.
There's no. Okay, so see, the diagonal is what I thought you were saying doesn't happen, and I have issue with you calling it a diagonal, right? Because if I can try to, you first mentioned it, you kind of think, okay, so here is the anchor point for the swing, and you're being swung out, so you're like this, and here's the seat of the chair, right? So you're at a certain angle, right? Your feet are hanging down, and you feel like you're going to fall away this way. You know, that's what you think would happen if it broke right now. But not, you're going to fall, like you said, straight down from behind, but you're going to fall, because you're moving forward, you're going to fall like that, whatever is directly in front of you the moment the chain breaks is going to be directly in front of you when you hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no sideways, there's no diagonal, like you're saying.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's your perspective on it, but it would not.
Sure.
Yeah. It's funny.
Good thing you're better at it's explaining
funny how,
quarks and shit. Because you're not doing a good job describing.
I'm not doing a good job because this is just the kind. This is Newtonian physics. This is the simple stuff, and the simple stuff is like. Yeah, like you said, calculating tangents and doing all that kind of stuff, and that's involved in quantum mechanics too, and it gets into that stuff into the nuts and bolts of it.
Like if you're trying to vision this in yourself and take like your bad intuition out of it, right?
Yeah.
Just remember you have to have a force acting on an object to change its direction,
mm-hmm.
and so when the chain breaks, the only force acting on it is gravity.
Inertia.
You have forward velocity. That forward velocity is continually being adjusted and making you go in a circle because of the chain. When the chain breaks, your forward velocity is not impeded by that chain anymore, so it's going to be in a straight line. The only thing that's going to pull you down is gravity, but you're not going to fall directly down like as if you aren't moving. You know, that first instant, you're going to be going more forward than down, and then, you know, later on, you're going to be going more down than forward.
Yeah, I think we're ultimately saying the same thing, but you haven't seen the picture, and the picture is really somebody getting launched,
mm-hmm.
and that was where they said. So if it was somebody down would look kind of diagonal from where they were, then you could see how that may be a possibility. But since it was somebody actually being launched, then it was physical impossibility. Because if it was diagonal, it could depend on perspective how you're looking at it.
Now I wonder if you would. No, it depends on your. I was wondering, so you're tilted out, so you're not sitting straight up and down, right? I was wondering if your tilt would change as you fall, but I don't. Again, with no forces acting upon you, and there's not like you have
gravity's
any kind
gonna
of
be pulling on your center of mass. It will just
center of mass, yeah. So that's not going to be very. You might turn a little bit. Depends on where you get all your mass. You probably lean backwards if anything.
Mm-hmm. Depends on how far you have to go, mm-hmm. yeah, and what your muscle reaction would be once you feel that. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Okay. fun stuff. Yeah, maybe I needed to see the picture and I could have understood. But I get what you're saying now. And we've talked about it long enough.
Yes, a little too much. Sorry, that's us. That's what we do.
Physics 101. Internet hoaxes and using physics to combat them. I couldn't find any good physics to combat the penis cake, though. It was great. It was a purple cake, and it had like a roof on top of it, so it looked almost like Rapunzel's tower. Mm-hmm. But it was really veiny. It was a veiny tower. It was not like a mistaken cake that kind of resembled a penis. It was a penis that was turned into a tower or photoshopped in completely. Because she was blowing out a much cheaper looking cake with unicorn or a horse on it, a pony on it, and the tower cake would have cost a lot more. So I don't even think
it was part of that. Cakes are expensive.
I don't even think it was part of that photo. Because, I mean, it was like a Walmart cake that she was blowing the candles out on. So again, skeptical as all hell. Anything else you want to wrap up?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Bye.